So, as an adult and as a genealogist, you've become much more cognizant of what the issues really were in growing up in a bilingual household in that period of time. And so it makes me remember some of the stories you've told about crossing the border as a little kid. First of all, talk about your grandfather and you.
Well, not long after I moved to my mother's home in 1951 after my father died in an airplane accident, I would go with my grandfather to get bread in Grand Falls, just 5 miles away, because he wanted bread made the way the old French had made bread. And the stuff that was available in the American store was definitely not that. When I got my driver's license, I would go across the border quite comfortably to have my dental work done. And I remember stories of my uncle being told to leave the house in the winter because he was making too much of a ruckus, and to go play with his first cousin who lived on the farm right across the river, which was the border. And we could see their house and they could see our house. And he would walk to the edge of the river and just cross on the ice and play with his cousin, skating, running, whatever. So that for us, in my childhood and in the generation before me, the border was something that geographers cared about, but the rest of us saw that as the neighbor next door.
Well, I think, too, didn't you tell me your grandmother had kind of casual attitudes about customs because of that?
Well, I remember one time crossing the border with my grandparents. She wanted a new dress that was made at a loom, making cloth, wool cloth, the way it had been done for years and years, and we're talking here 100, 200 plus, and she wore that dress over what she wore going over into Canada so that it wouldn't look like a package. And when they came across, I was told to keep my mouth shut, because she declared that as nothing to report.
Well, didn't you once upon a time have to go for groceries across the river?
Oh, yeah. That was embarrassing. I had some dental work done, and my mother wanted some orange juice that we were short on, and there was a tear-up on orange juice. And the American guard, who was the father of my classmate in my two-room school, said, "George," with his head tilted, looking in the floor behind the seat, "Do you have anything to declare, George?" And looking back at the floor behind the front seat, and I said, "No." I couldn't remember it. Only after I got home did I remember. I told a flat lie, and he said, "Okay, you can go."
Well, you wouldn't get by with that today.
No, today it's all militarized. Years after these experiences, I was working on a small book on how to do research on Upper St. John River Valley geographic locations, which is the northern border between Maine and New Brunswick, or the U.S. and Canada. And I remember I was trying to get a section written for every single cemetery in that valley in terms of its distance from a stoplight wherever there was one, or an intersection of two highways, and that cemetery to a tenth of a mile. And I would cross the border, let's say at Van Buren, and come back at Madawaska. And when you have a militarized border, you don't do that. You get in trouble because somebody's trying to play honky-ponky and get some drugs across or something.
Well, yeah, they think you're crossing too many times in a short space, right?
Right. So I remember my final crossing was at Van Buren, where I was staying with my aunt and uncle, and I had to be there for supper or not have supper. And the guy said, where are you born? What's your nationality? United States, where were you born? Right next to the spire of that church here, about 50 feet on this side of it was where I was born. Ah, and what were you doing? I said, going to the cemeteries, and he says, "We heard about you," and slammed that window.
Well, why
I couldn't get to explain what I was doing.
Well, why did you do that? Why do you Why had they heard about you?
Evidently, somebody thought it was the weirdest thing on earth that somebody was crossing the border all over at the three locations possible. There was a fourth further down the river. And that anybody would want to go from one cemetery to another was just weird. So they passed the word that there may be this Yehu who's out of his mind telling you that he's going to cemeteries. He really is.
Well, I think there's another reason, too. I think in one of your crossings, maybe not that time, but another time that would be in their computer, you told the story of your entire genealogy ad nauseum.
Yeah, I moved, I think in the year 1999, I moved my aunt, who was 90 years old, from her mobile home in Florida to a nursing home in Rustic County, Maine, where she had grown up as well as I had. And she permitted me to use her car with a license plate from Florida to go from northern Maine into New Brunswick, Canada at 6:30 in the morning, trying to get to the provincial archives in Nova Scotia when it opened so I could maximize my research time. And the guard there just didn't think anything added up. Wanted to see my driver's license, which was for Wisconsin. He said, could you get out of your car, please? I did. He said, could you come over to that door? And he followed me. He didn't leave me. And opened the door, and I walked in, and I was in this little cubicle. I swear it was 4 feet by 6 feet or something like that. And it was bulletproof glass, and a woman on the other side. He closed the door, which locked immediately, and the lady said, could you explain how it is that you have this car? So I explained it was my aunt's car and that I just moved her back home and that they could call it Billy Finland up on Green Ridge in Fort Fairfield and confirm that. But I was going down to the PANB. They said, what is a PANB? I said, oh, don't you know? That's Provincial Archives in New Brunswick. They're the ones who have the research material I need. And I want to get there for their opening time, and it's going to take me 2.5 hours of driving to get there. What do you do there again? I said, well, I'm doing my research on my mother's side of the family from 1650 to 1950, and I've got it almost to the year 1800, and I'm a direct descendant of Barnabé Martin and Jeanne
Pelletre, right?
Pelletre. And they had a child named Rémy, and they had a child, Jean-Baptiste, and then my grandfather is this eighth generation, and I've got some of the material here if you want to see it. And I think somehow she didn't want to hear it. So she said, you can go. And I left.
And thereafter, whenever you approached the border, they said, I've heard of you. And I slammed the window shut.
Well, surprisingly, that night when I came across the border and had to stop at the American side, the guy somehow was really understanding. And I told him he can confirm that I, you know, am the nephew of my aunt by calling Billy Finland up on Green Ridge.
Oh, wait, before you were